Digital Photography Tips from the Top Floor, show number 41, July 27th, 2005.
Podcasting for the digital photographer. This is Tips from the Top Floor. And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Hello and welcome to today's show. It's Wednesday and there's a lot of things on today's show, so let's dive right into it. First of all, for those who haven't noticed yet, I installed a gallery on the website that will help me to publish pictures for assignments, and I've already moved all the assignment pictures into that gallery. And yeah, it keeps things nice and tidy and it helps me manage things a lot easier. And I'll also use and have already used it for publishing images for selected shows. So for the Monday show, I posted a few of the landscape and cow and Black Forest pictures on the gallery. So go check that out and I hope you'll like it. Here's some more statistics, and the questionnaire is still open, and I'll think I'll leave it open till maybe the end of the week, but it's incredible. I've received over 700 responses so far. Thank you very much to all of you who went to that website and submitted your answers. It's really interesting. There's, for example, slightly more digital point-and-shoot owners than those with a DSLR, but they almost balance out. And that was what I had assumed over, well, the last 40 shows, basically. And that's what I had in mind when I did the show, not to really go too much into one world or the other, but keep things on a level that really let anyone benefit from it. So I wasn't too wrong there. Almost a quarter of the listeners own a tripod, which in general is a good thing. There's a lot of good uses for a tripod, but I myself don't use a tripod that often. There are shots that I definitely use a tripod for, but I find it too bulky to carry around in most cases. And I use it for product shots and these kind of things, and sometimes outdoors, but not too often. When I go outdoors, I usually have the beanbag with me. Now, if you check back to, show number 7, that's quite a while ago, but if you can, go check back to show number 7, and you'll see some of the uses for a beanbag. Only 3%. Hey, come on. Beanbag is a really cool thing, so yeah, let's do a bit of do-it-yourself here, because it's really easy to make your own, and as a matter of fact, the beanbag I use has been made for me by a friend. You could definitely go into any photo store and order one or buy one, but yeah, there's something different to it when you really did it yourself. So I've published a photo documentary about making your own beanbag on the gallery, and the link is in the show notes. I did that documentary about 2 years ago, and I thought it was a fun thing to share with you. So go have a look. It's assignment time again. I received almost 60 images for the summer assignment, and thank you all for participating. It's just wonderful to see how different people interpret the summer theme in a different way. And that's really cool. And I like it. Thanks a lot. Now here's what the assignments are about. You could, of course, go through all the images on your hard drive and find one that you've taken years ago and sent that in. But one of the reasons for working by an assignment is to learn to focus on a specific topic. So what I'd like you to do is leave your old images where they are and shoot a new one for this assignment. And you'll see, by going out and shooting pictures with that assignment in mind, that will change the way you look at things. So give it a try. Don't be tempted to grab that one picture that you took a year ago and send that in. Take a new one. And today's topic is, how about contrast? Now, contrast can mean many different things, so I guess I'm really looking forward to what you're going to send me. And in order to help me easier manage the pictures, here's a few simple rules. Please resize the pictures. Don't send me the originals right out of your camera. because those are usually far too big for on-screen display, and that generates a lot of work for me, and it's just a waste of bandwidth, basically. So a maximum width of 800 pixels and a maximum height of 700 pixels should work pretty well. And if you listen to show number 38, the resizing will be a piece of cake. And the size shouldn't be more than 150 kilobytes, and the format is JPEG. And please put the words contrast assignment in the subject. That will make it a lot easier for me to filter those out. And one image per listener only, please. And send your images to info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. Whew, and there were so many rules here. I think I'll just put them in the show notes so you can look them up. And actually, they are on the gallery, on the assignments gallery already. So, yeah, have a look. And now, I think I almost used up all the time already. So, yeah, let's still have a short segment on photography. Check it out.
Tips and tricks from the top floor.
In today's tips and tricks from the top floor, we look at exposure compensation. In the last show, I mentioned exposure compensation, and I received quite some questions from listeners on how and when to apply it. Well, most cameras do a pretty good job with metering the image and getting the exposure right, but as a camera does not really know what's actually in the picture, it cannot always do the right thing, especially in unusual situations. Here's a few situations that easily confuse a camera's exposure meter. Snow, for example. Because everything is so bright and the subject is often the only darker spot in a picture, chances are that the camera will try to compensate for the bright snow and give you an image that is too dark. In such a situation, it can be helpful to compensate the exposure upwards to get a brighter picture. The opposite is concert photography, where you are often faced with a black background and the only brightly lit things on stage are the musicians and their instruments. In that case, many cameras tend to overexpose because they are trying to compensate for the overall dark image. In this case, setting the exposure compensation down in order to reduce the overall image brightness might be a good idea. Oh, and by the way, I handle the subject of concert photography in great detail on show number 10, so you might want to check back to that. Sometimes, even with normal scenes, the sky can be overexposed. Usually, that's not an issue, but if you have a sky with beautiful clouds and you want to make sure that it's not overexposed, you should check the image and its histogram after taking the picture and see if you need to retake the shot with a bit of exposure compensation. Backlight is another situation that often leads to an underexposed subject. It's basically the same situations as with the snow pictures. The background is very bright and the camera will try to compensate. One of the things that can be helpful in such a situation is to use what's called fill flash. Switch on your camera's flash and give it a try. The results can be quite good and sometimes even have a very dramatic feel to them. And that was it for today. Thank you for tuning in. If you're not subscribed to the show yet, you have no idea what you're missing. Imagine you'll automatically get every new show delivered to your computer or MP3 player once it's on the air. If you don't use iTunes or any other feed reader yet, you should really give it a try. I've described how to get subscribed on the website, and speaking of the website, you can find older shows, assignment images, and much more on the site at tipsfromthetopfloor.com. And if you want to let me know what you think of the show, send me an email to info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. Also, don't forget to participate in the assignment. The topic is contrast, and you'll find the instructions on how to participate on the website and in the assignment gallery. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a pleasure doing this show for you from my little studio on the top floor in Tübingen, southern Germany. My name's Chris Marquard. Have a good one and happy shooting.